Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit fans. I've got Greg here. It has been, man, Greg, how long has it been? A couple weeks?
Since we've been on? Yeah.
Yeah, I know we had some, I wouldn't say technical difficulties, we had some editing difficulties. We got some of our live links got mixed up and I had to go through some editing and I was able to work with our editing company and was able to get it out. So I know it's been too long. How are you doing?
It happens to the best of us. It happens to professionals, not us part-timers.
I don't even know if I could consider ourselves part-timers.
Well,
quarter-timers.
We didn't get one message from the 35 listeners that we have. So
yeah,
obviously they were on pins and needles waiting for the next episode, but they were respectful enough not to reach out.
Speaking of our listeners, I know we don't have a lot, but please share with what we got going on. We do get a lot of positive feedback from our small community, and we're looking to grow the community. So please share. We appreciate you following in, checking in on us. Follow us on all our platforms. We're working on it. We do have lives, and this is secondary to us. And I know my fall has calmed down. I think you have calmed down, but you're about to
ramp it up.
Get started up. You're about to ramp it up. I know with my little guys this past weekend, we finished pretty much all of our fall sports. So we got a couple, 2-3 week window. I think you got like a 2 week window until you start kicking things back up with your team. So I know we do winter sports just like you do, but obviously it's not to the same scale. And we're looking forward to it. Had a good fall with them. I know you're not quite in the youth sports world, but
yeah, not yet. We're just ballet and swim lessons.
Yeah, you're going to be there before you know it. And man, there are some crazy people out there. I appreciate them. They keep it entertained. Not just what goes on the field. It's entertaining. I have coached many different levels all the way up to the college level. And I would say coaching 10U baseball is by far the hardest one yet.
Well, I mean, he's got a rocking arm and we got to save him for the playoffs, coach.
Yeah. And it's just, I think the expectations from some people are just ridiculous. And baseball is a very difficult game as it is. And then to put a 10-year-old mind into that person playing that very difficult game makes it even more challenging. But no, it's been a lot of fun. I know my little guy didn't have the best fall, but ended up pretty strong. And I'm pretty excited about the future. My oldest actually had a really good fall in softball. And then my third one started field hockey this year and had by far her best game, ending it on Saturday. And she cannot wait to, we're going to have to sign her up for a couple of different things more here. She's more of a basketball player, but she really hooked on to field hockey. Believe it or not, I don't know a lot about field hockey, but there are a lot of similarities actually to basketball.
Same with lacrosse.
Very similar to lacrosse. And with my wife as a former lacrosse coach, we were able to make some comparisons, but we had learned as well too. Very tough game. And they play on grass, which makes the game even harder. Especially at 10. So they don't hit the ball very hard. The grass holds the ball up, doesn't go very far. So it's fun. But before you know it, dude, you'll be as deep as we are involved. But got a couple day break. Got a lot of golf in front of me. I played last 2 days, looking to play the next 3 days, if not next 4 days in a row. But we'll talk about our golf in a moment. How have you been doing? Have you been able to get out at all? How's the workouts going? We are coming into a fall break for us. I am looking forward to a little bit of a break from work. What about yourself?
I'm looking forward to it. I basically have been sticking with the plan. I started a couple weeks ago. I'm about 7-8 weeks into a workout regimen that is 6 days a week I lift and 7 days a week I run, and actually started taking some of my own advice. And I've been doing walking cool downs, and I've been doing and program planning into my workout regimen, mobility and stretching and stuff like that. I will say that by far probably the best I've felt in a very long time as far as body-wise, feeling stronger. I actually feel not tight and I feel limber and it's going pretty well. I build it into my day no matter what, whether it's early in the morning or late at night, I'm getting it in. It's going pretty well. But as far as golf, I've gotten a couple rounds in. I think I've played probably 4 times in the last couple of weeks, just here and there. I played one round up in Pennsylvania where I was at for a weekend and just snuck out onto a course and played real quick. Awesome. $25, cart included. And it was actually a pretty nice course up there. I would say that basically I would compare it to my home course, just with a little more map type stuff. Fast greens. It was definitely one of those things that was difficult there. But other than that, I got out to the range last weekend. I didn't get to play last weekend, but I got out to the range and finally had an actual practice session. Focusing more on tempo right now. I'm really not caring how far I hit the ball or getting after it, but I'm focusing on tempo and I'm actually not losing a dime or an inch off of the ball.
Yeah, I would say, Greg, I would commend you. Let's go back before we hit the golf part is to your workouts. You are one person that can honestly work out at any hour of the day. And I have to say, our kids are a little bit different. Yours are a little younger than mine. And I feel like once that evening hits 4 or 5 o'clock, I am shut down with them and hanging out or going to sports or whatever. And I have a hard time pulling it back up at night, but I've been able to hit my workouts in the morning. I have been on a routine since we went back to work mid, late August. Any day that I go to work, I have my workout done by 8 a.m. And I love it. I love that feeling is that I am completed. I start my day. I've got my students coming in and I've already know that I've already hit my workout and I've been adding my runs in pretty much every day as well too. Now I'm not putting the mileage in as I did if I used to, but getting my runs in. So
I'm not anywhere close to the mileage that I was putting in before. I'm strict 1 mile run a day. And then I try and run it as fast as I can. We've gotten down to a 6:52. My goal by September is to break a 6-minute mile.
We're in October.
I know.
So are you going 4 weeks backwards or are you going for your 1-year challenge again?
No, I'm going my 1-year challenge again. Started September 16th. And I said, I'm just going to run a mile. I'm not going to get into let me build it to a point where, hell, the last time that I did the 1 mile challenge or the 1 mile a day challenge, by the end of the challenge that last month, I ran 110 miles in that month.
Yeah, I think that was my fault. I think we got hooked on putting a lot of mileage in. We had that 30 mile challenge we did in 24 hours, but I think I was pushing you. I know I was pushing you pretty heavily in the mileage. But by the end of the month there, or end of your year, I knew you were doing the mile a day. I didn't know you committed to that 1 year again.
Committed to it 1 mile a day. I run it as hard as I can. And basically, like, Sundays are anywhere between, I go recovery pace. So it's usually around like a 9:30 pace. And I'll go anywhere from, depending on how busy our Sunday is, I'll go 5K to 5 miles and finish it out and then basically just walk for 20, 25 minutes afterwards and then just stretch out on Sunday. And just Sundays is a lower key day, but I actually really like the workout regimen that I'm on. I'll probably be posting it here soon. It's something that just kind of, it was just one of those things where I was talking to somebody and they mentioned it. And I was like, that actually sounds cool. Sounds a little bit different than what I usually did and getting away from like kind of the split that I used to be on and called an old man workout, but I do a lot of full body workouts. But at the same time, I have 2 days a week program that are just mobility core and going well. I'm running hard and it's feeling good. And feeling better.
Yeah, I would say I was in the same boat. I was doing really well when we get back to work, but I got And I kept telling myself, oh, next week I'll make a change. Next week I'll make a change. And before I knew it, I was 4 to 5 weeks in and pretty much doing same similar workouts throughout the week, 3, 4, 5 days a week with all our days off and different things. But I made a switch about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I've really liked it. It's not too much different than what I'm doing, but it just gives me that variety. And being able to teach my class now in the weight room, or one of my classes in the weight room, I keep talking to them about variety, and they always want to go back to what's easier for them. And I always continue to tell them, it's just because it's easy doesn't mean it's good. And I had to do that to myself, but I'm not quite 7 days a week. I'm 5, 6 days a week. 4 is probably the low end. We got a little break here. I'm not sure. I'll continue to work out, but I won't put it in the same. I don't have my luxury like you do to have your weight room 2 miles away. Mine's about 45-minute drive away.
Yeah,
which
it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, so I've actually thought about making that trip one day, just because I know going through this longer break, I might want to do that. I'll just bring the little ones with me and they can play around.
You make it a shorter trip and you go to the gym that you helped build.
Yeah, probably won't show my face.
And we do a Fairway Fit workout in there.
Just probably won't show my face around that one. Other reasons, if you know us, you might know why, but I'm good. I'm good with where I put my life at right now. But as far as golf, similar to you, I've been out a couple times, a lot of 9 holes here and there. I have been.
You love 9-hole rounds, though.
I do. Dude, why not?
I know. I'm saying you get it in when you can fit it in. I know.
And you had that same luxury I do. You would be there just as much.
Probably more.
I went over there yesterday and played a little 2-ball scramble, shot myself a 33. I was just trying to put up a good number, getting ready for our final major that's coming up. It made me feel good. I would love to sit here and tell you that I had 2 choices. And they were very difficult choices on every shot, but that was not the case.
This was a slightly better angle.
Yeah. Now, some of them was, I don't think I hit any balls out of play, but it was like, all right, this one's not even close to being as good as the others.
What was the majority of better shots, your first tee ball or your second tee ball?
It was a variety. I would say on approach shots, it was more of my first ball. On tee balls, it was about 50-50. There was only, I think I hit the fairway 2 out of the 7 times with both balls. Other than that, it was like 1 really nice ball in the fairway and 1 ball
the truth,
that wasn't
I think,
that close.
I think really a great stat to hit and nix off fairways and reg. Doesn't really matter if you're a foot off the fairway and you're just in the first cut. You know what? That's playing good golf there. Now, if people would start tracking lost balls rather than fairways and reg, if you drop that, you're automatically going to drop your score.
Yeah, so I don't disagree, and not the lost balls things, but the fairway part.
This is also coming from somebody that probably hits about 12 to 15% fairways and reg on a round.
Twofold here. Go back to the first point. The fairways, I do agree with you. I think as long as you're in play and you have a look, being 5 to 10 yards off the fairway isn't the end of the world. I'm reading and learning more that the further you are, the better. You're better off being 100 yards out in the rough than you are 150 yards out in the fairway.
So are we pulling driver more now?
It's the fall, so I do hit driver more. One, because I can't find my ball anyway, so that free drop of the leaf just works out.
Fair enough. I'm bringing the wind blower, the leaf blower tomorrow.
And then now my second part, I would say you hit more greens. No, I think you hit more fairways than you do greens. So if you could flip those two, I think you would definitely be hitting the numbers you want to hit.
Of course, I'd be 50% greens and reg that I totally dismantled with 39 putts that day.
The greens, I've played 2 or 3 different courses lately, and the greens everywhere are just firm and fast.
Yeah.
They're firm and fast. I think all courses are just reaping the benefits of the 11 days of rain, no rain lately, getting the grass cut very shortly, watering it when they need to water it. The dew in the morning has been helping in different things.
So I strategically placed our tee time in the the late morning, early afternoon. So that
I thought you went for that because you hate cold weather and you wanted to make sure it was a little bit warmer.
Well, I mean, twofold strategy, but
I wanted to be able
to at least show up in shorts and not have to wear like under like
tights,
and freaking
hot hands with the thermal on you.
Come turkey shootout, there's going to be a pack of hot hands in my pocket.
Yeah, and them orange pants. But yeah, so
damn good though.
I don't doubt it. But I was able to get out one more time today. Tyler Mann and I went over a little bit later. We hit some balls, putted, and then we played four holes. And I did finish one under through four. Hit it a lot better today than I think I did yesterday.
Don't waste the ball. Any excuses saying you were burnt out.
No. But feeling good. And I will tell you, I know you hate this, and I will tell you from day one, I do think if you walked more of your rounds like I do, you would become a better golfer. I don't know why. I just feel like you flow with the golf course. It lets you relax. It lets you be competitive. It lets you think about what's going on. You don't feel like you have to rush to the shot, make the shot, move on. I think when you start moving out here, you sleep on that cot in the basement that I still got set up.
The only difference is you have the, as much as you have that gift of, you can take your kids out on the course right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm three or four years ahead of you.
I have to negotiate, hey, can I go play golf? And then I have to make sure that, like, all right, I need to get through this as quick as can. There's no such thing as a 5 or 6 hour round in my household. And like, one, two, awesome.
Well, so like, I wouldn't.
If somebody would develop a push cart or a cart that is motorized that will follow me around, but also
have a little, that is developed.
There's a two-portion part of this, okay? So it's probably going to be on like Shark Tank here soon, but that also pulls behind like a little mini cooler, right? Because it's just, there's, my bag's going to be too heavy if I'm carrying it the entire
time. So one, I don't carry my bag. Two, that is already developed with the cooler part.
What?
But it's like $1,600.
Take my money.
Take my money. No, that is perfect. But I'm telling you, what's coming though is what we saw down there at Caledonia last, and that is the motorcycles.
The motorcycles I want to ride so bad. Surfboards, bad idea, because then you're working your legs too much and you're taking too much balance out of it. And then next thing you know, you're beat by the time that you're on 18. So biggest thing I think is motorcycle with like where the gas tank should be. That should be your cooler and boom, done.
So we're going back to Myrtle in March, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Already started to look. I've reached out to them. Right now, they only have four of those or six of those. And we needed eight because our group is going to be extended to eight. So they said to reach back out when I'm ready to commit to see if it is a possibility. Well, and to be honest with you,
if our boy's back flares up, he won't be able to hunch over on a motorcycle anyway.
If my brother is going, it has to have a kiddie kickstand because he's so short anyway. So this is be perfect. We can ride the motorcycle.
Am I taller than your brother? That might be one of the few people in the world that I'm taller than.
But yeah, I think we've been at similar pages. I'll be honest with you. When I go out and play golf right now, like score is on my mind, but it's not definitely where I was July, August, when I was like stretching to get that score as low as I can. I take what I get, whatever's in front of me. I will say the fall leaves are killing me because at my golf course, there's so many blind shots. And when I come over the hills and it's, I didn't know there were so many leaves on the ground and my ball is supposed to be over there. And it's just been a little bit frustrating. So I've gone through a lot of golf balls lately, which is, I get to find a lot. So it works out, but the courses are in great shape. I can't complain. Got a good little stretch coming in front of us. We'll talk about what we got planned coming in front of us. But we talked last episode that we wanted to do something fun. And I think with this episode, we're going to play 18 holes. We're going to play 18 holes of 18 questions.
I love it. Back and forth.
You want to go? That was going to be my first question. I know I've come up with 9 questions.
I think we go back and forth. It would be stupid to go, because that way, like, worst case scenario, you ask the same question I do, I can change the order of it.
I'm with you on that. And obviously, we're probably going to answer the questions ourselves as well, too. Some of these are golf related. Some of these are a little off the wall. When I wrote all my questions down, I was like, man, these are really good. About 5 minutes before we hopped on here, I'm like, man, I'm not sure these are really good anymore. We're going to have to find out. But if you're good with it, I don't want to rub it in, but I have won all five majors. So I was going to go ahead and take the honors.
No, you can go ahead and take the honors. That's fine. But just remember this, the last stroke play major we had, the only reason you won is because I carded a 12 or a 10 on number 10. We were pretty darn close for front nine.
I just don't live in the past. I always
just saying.
I just talk about what's in front of us and keep the eye on the prize. No, so I'm going to knock it off. And I hope my little guy's in the other room. He's off school tomorrow. He's excited. And this relates a little bit to him and what we've been doing over the last couple of days. I'm a big baseball guy. My little guy's a big baseball guy. So, Greg, I need to know. And it might be a little too late from where we're recording and what we're sitting on, but who do you want to win the World Series?
I want it to be a World Series. I don't want it to be a sweep. Like, I will say this. I have been a baseball fan my entire life. I've never been a baseball team fan. I've always followed, like, the Pirates, obviously. I'm a Steelers fan. I'm a Penguins fan.
Ouch, that hurts.
I'm a Pittsburgh person, so I've always followed them. But then, obviously, I've followed the O's growing up in Northern Virginia. I've followed the Nats.
Yeah, once the postseason starts, you got to stop following the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's for sure.
It was, tell you the truth, there's nothing better than a Friday or Saturday night game at PNC Park with an IC light in your hand. And then after the game, having fireworks over the three bridges there. Oh, money. Yeah, if you ever run to PNC Park, you need to get the pierogi race.
Oh, I've been to PNC, but why are you a Pittsburgh fan?
Like, my entire family is from North Hills, Pennsylvania, which is right outside downtown. Downtown.
What belt? What is it? The orange belt, the green belt, the blue belt? Because Pittsburgh's all belts.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, we're right outside the city. So North Hills is right outside the city.
Is that a belt? What color?
Do you not know? I was up there last weekend. But
right, we'll say the orange belt.
Parents were the only people in their families that moved away from Pittsburgh. And when we moved down here, my dad, born and raised me a Pittsburgh fan, took me to Steelers games, was 6 years old the first time I fell asleep at the nosebleed seats of Three Rivers Stadium watching a Steelers game. We would go to Pirates games. Obviously, living in Northern Virginia growing up, my dad worked in sales, so he would get tickets to Caps games, and he would get tickets to Orioles games and stuff. So I went to other games, but really the only team that I ever really latched onto that I call myself a fan was definitely the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it was always the Steelers. Like, even when the Redskins with Gary Clark and Art Monk and those guys were winning Super Bowls and stuff.
Mark Rippon.
Yeah, exactly. I was still 100% Steelers fan. Cried when they lost to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And I've been blessed. I've had bad years. I've had really good years. And I've just always been a Steelers fan. I'm raising my kids Steelers fans.
Yeah, it's too bad. At least they wear some maroon and orange every once in a while. I'm good with that.
Not maroon and orange.
Chicago maroon and burnt orange. Virginia Tech, baby. Come on.
Okay. All right. That is true. The kids, I gave Laura the college sport aspect.
Yeah, that's good with my book.
But as far as baseball goes, the Yanks have always been a top tier team that, like, no matter if you're a baseball fan, you've liked Yankees. All right.
I would disagree with you, but we'll go ahead.
You didn't like Derek Jeter?
Now, I'll probably get some hate for this. I actually thought Derek Jeter was one of the most overrated shortstops, that if you put him on any other team, would not have had any success until, was it 3 or 4 years ago when the captain came out and I got to know a little bit more about Derek Jeter? But no, I've been a baseball kid my whole life.
It's cool. I hate Tom Brady with a passion. I think he's the most overrated quarterback to ever live.
But he's did it for 22 years. That's the one thing
yeah,
I would
give. Yeah, but at the same time, like, his defense won him more Super Bowls than he ever did. He has one great game, which was the offensive, like, juggernaut against the Atlanta Falcons, and that's it. And he knocked the Steelers out plenty of times. But
what do they say? You're a coach. Defense wins championships, right?
I'm a wrestling coach. Offense wins championships. And a score to win.
Yeah, that is true. You got to wrestle. You got to wrestle.
Gotta wrestle.
So, all right.
I would love to see the Yankees make it a series and not lose and get swept. But obviously, the Dodgers just they came to play.
And Freddie Freeman
is just going off.
You saw what happened about an hour ago, right?
Yes.
Because we're a little okay. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Yeah. So we would talk about crying tears over professional sports. The last time I cried over professional sports when the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees in 2001. I've sat there in college. I couldn't have been more excited. Now, that's when the Yankees just won, what, 5 out of 6? I couldn't have been more excited when the Diamondbacks won. That's Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling. That was Luis Gonzalez with the broken bat. Tony Womack with the stolen base, broken bat over first base, over off Mariano Rivera. So I could spit out a lot of that.
But Randy Johnson killed a bird.
Yeah, but that was, it just got in the way. He shouldn't have been standing there. Ask Happy Gilmore. He knows that.
That's true.
So that was the last time professional sports brought me the tears. So I don't like the Yankees, but my little guy is a diehard Freddie Freeman fan. He's liked him since the Braves.
Really?
Yeah, during COVID, they had a 30 for 30 on him, and we must have watched it. And I don't even really know what clicked, but my little guy loves Freddie, and he is a class act dude. And I know he's been through a lot. His kid had some issues at birth to where they've had issues this past year. He's been injured. And then I one of the few moments when I was a kid remembering baseball was when Kirk Gibson hit the home run in the Dodgers, and to be able to replay what he did to what Freddie did first night when he hit the walk-off grand slam. It just brought up a lot of memories. So I'm definitely a Dodgers guy. I would like to see it go more than 4 games.
Yeah.
My little guy did pop his head in here like 30 seconds ago saying somebody did something. I couldn't quite hear him. So he is getting the okay to stay up really late tonight and watch that game. So he is pumped.
And mine as well.
If you hear him screaming, it's just because the Dodgers must have done something.
Let's go.
But we're not scared to get loud in this house. All right, so we just killed 5 minutes on one question that wasn't the plan, but what do you got?
No, not at all. Okay, my next one is very direct to you, but and it's off the wall. What's the weirdest thing that I would find in your closet?
In my closet?
Yep. If I went into your closet, what's the weirdest thing that I would see and be like, yo, what is this?
That's it. That is, you're talking about off the wall. That is off the wall.
You had some curveballs in here.
You do. And I never hit curveballs very well. Curveball, anything that spun, I had a hard time picking up. I tried to hit it before it got to the plate. So I would say, be honest with you, there's really not much in my closet directly that you would be that surprised with outside of a fair amount of ammunition.
Okay.
Because it is
tough. It's a child safe house.
Yeah, I got you. But outside of that, there's some clothes that don't fit me anymore type things. But no, I would say you got me on that one. I don't have. The amount of ammunition might be the one thing that blows you away.
Talking like apocalypse?
Apocalypse?
Apocalypse, like prepping, like where you got rounds for like 7,000.
I don't know about 7,000, but so everything so what's weird is that we own the same, we sell the same type of weapons, as far as what ammunition they hold. So we've always talked about no matter what goes on that we need to both be able to share ammunition. I can't shoot one thing and she shoots another thing. Cause we both partake in that. I'm not trying to get into that, especially with the election coming up. Not much recent to get into all that stuff as well too, but there's enough. That's what I was saying.
Enough to f around and find out.
No, not even that much. I just, there's just enough. You'll be like, whoa, okay, all right, yeah, and then you'll move on.
Fair enough.
Isn't that much, but yeah. Now, I haven't purchased in any amount of time, so it's been a while, but now that you say that, I might have to add to my Christmas list.
Well, you're more of a bow guy anyways. You're a guy that's going to be coming out of the bedroom with a crossbow rather than a shotgun.
So I'm literally staring across right now, looking at both of our bows, but yeah, that is the preference. Looking to get out actually this weekend one time if I have the time. Haven't done it in a couple years. Last year was a little bit of a different year, but it is what it is. I know my little guy wants to get out one time. He shoots a crossbow. All right, so let's move on. I'm going to bring in the first golf question. Top golf moment of the year. And I'm going to add this, although I'm not sure that it's coming, but top golf moment so far of the year.
Top golf moment of the year. I'm going to go. Top golf moment.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out and say this, but Tom sinking the putt on 18 in order for our team to win Gents Cup. For a good old E, Uncle E, let's face it, Uncle E was on a little bit of a losing streak. It was me and yours first time. Technically, it was my second one, but
I got you.
Like sitting around 18, 36 guys sitting there watching it, and Tom making the putt, and us being able to celebrate with the Gents Cup.
Out of the cup.
Exactly. I'm going to say that was my top one for this year because everything else that I've been a part of, I lost.
Yes. I would say that was a big moment. Personally, I would say my big golf moment was when I was able to extend the match on 17. I was playing and I made like a 30-foot putt. And I think if you were anywhere within 2 to 3 holes, you would have screened me with a little fist pump on that. But you can ask Taylor.
Like, was it like a Tiger double fist pump with it was a good
one
in hand?
It was a good one. It was a good one. I won't say that it was a mulligan use, but that's besides the point. But I still was pretty jacked up to it. We ended up tying it on 18 anyway, but that would have been mine. But so pretty similar. We're at the Gents Cup. By far is one of the best trips I've been on. It's still a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the future.
All right. Worst person you would want to be paired with for a round.
Is this a team round, competitive round, just a normal round?
It's just like if you rolled up on number one tee box, what is the last person you would want to pull up in the cart behind you or be sitting in the car with you?
Yeah, I don't really think this person has a face. It's just that slow, methodical golfer that does need to keep it in play. Like, I don't know. I don't really have somebody.
Are we talking like 12 practice swings, then duck the ball?
We're talking
and
about
then like line up.
You know what? I will narrow it down.
How about this? Worst famous person that you'd want to be paired with for golf?
Well, I think famous person that would be entertaining, even if they were really bad.
No. Just like somebody you hate in famous people.
Somebody I hate. I've tried not to hate a lot of people lately. I tried to be very positive person.
Hate is good. Embrace the hate.
Yes.
Hate is good.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know if I could pinpoint one, but I will narrow it down for you. Everybody knows the slow person, the guy that takes a million practice swings. I don't want to play with a guy that takes practice swings right next to the ball and then gets right behind the ball and hits it. That's it. I will narrow it down. Now, if he takes practice swings, he gets back behind the ball, lines himself up like a pro, I could probably live with that. But the guy that takes the full practice swing, we're talking about 100, 110% swing, and then gets right behind the ball and hits, I don't want to play with him.
So do you not want to play with me tomorrow?
You don't do that. We've talked about that in the past. It's been a couple years, but we have talked about that.
I would say the person that takes it way too seriously is not at all fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Or the guy that expects...
Or me personally, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Tom Brady. See, I would play golf with Derek Jeter. He would have to pick me up in his Grand Wagoneer, but we would play golf with Derek Jeter.
I would not play golf with Tom Brady. Okay. I would basically do the same exact thing as Entourage, and I would just be like, hey, can I borrow your driver real quick? Yeah, sure. Let me try this out. It. Snap. Boom. Done.
I'll tell you, the other annoying person is the guy that that makes everything seem like a bad break. Like, he expects to hit it perfect. Oh, the wind gusted it and pushed it. No, dude, you've hit 7 balls, 30 yards from right. God. No, you've hit 30 balls right. Like, it's just the way it happens. But yeah, that's a good one. I don't really have an individual person. Like I said, I'm trying to be in a better place. I was in a rough spot a couple of years ago. Definitely moved this route. So back to me, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, we're about the same age. So this,
But you're older.
I am, but I actually think this might be the same person. Celebrity crush growing up.
Celebrity crush growing up?
Yeah.
Like, of all time?
Give me what you got. Up growing up. Celebrity crush of growing up.
Marissa Tomei.
So we were a little off. We're a little off. That's a good
choice. You're probably a Topanga guy.
Come on. You could do better than that.
Love Topanga. Oh, Kelly Kapowski. Yeah.
Kelly Kapowski.
That's a solid number two.
Number two. That's my number one. I had the remote that came down in my closet when it came down to elevated in her volleyball outfit.
Marissa Tomei in My Cousin Vinny is just super attractive.
Okay.
I don't know why, but she's been like my number one seed. I don't care if she's like 56, 60 years old right now. I was like, probably still would.
Okay. So that was Kelly Kapowski is my growing up one. Jennifer Aniston is probably my.
She's
my,
pretty timeless. My true. Yeah, she's pretty yeah. timeless.
I mean, she looks the same now she did with Friends.
Yeah.
In the first few years, can't complain there.
Brad so. Pitt, solid.
Or not
at that downgrade to Angelina Jolie.
I was gonna say, is that your? If Brad Pitt's your celebrity crush, I think with this question went the wrong way. But
dude, Brad Pitt's a good looking man. I can say that full heartedly.
What happens in Fight Club stays in Fight Club. Exactly. We don't talk about Fight Club.
Exactly.
That's a solid one. I like that one.
All right. I'm going to say describe. We'll leave that one. We'll go away from that one.
Oh, boy. Par three.
So.
Trying to hit the center of the green here.
What's your fondest memory on a golf course?
My fondest memory on the golf course? I would say it's not even on a golf course. It's going to the golf course. The goosebumps I had, and I really feel bad that I don't remember the actual street name, when we're walking through the town of St. Andrews and we make the turn and it's bam. There's the 18th green, the number one tee box. And then not only to do that with my dad, but and my brother. And then a couple of days later, because we actually got there a few days later, played some courses surrounding it. And then we were able to play. We played St. Andrews on the last day and played the old course. The only thing that I regret about the whole thing is that was, gosh, that's pushing 15 years ago now, 16 years ago. I was the golf geek. I was the guy that like loved golf and everything about golf at that time. And mine is more about playing golf. But now, like, my brother has taken it to the next level as far as the architecture and being able to live in Europe and in London and travel to the Scotland, the Ireland area. I would say the regret would be if we did it now, I think he would appreciate it. Like I appreciated it 15 years ago. And so we could be that fond of that memory together. But I still, when I talk about turning that corner and off in the distance is the St. Andrew Hotel, the waves are right there because it is right on the water. The sun's beating down and it's, oh my God, I literally could sit here and watch people from all over the world play golf. And it is just... We'll be this. We will do this. I know we've talked about this, but we will do this. But I will tell you what, there's St. Andrews, the town is just, it's incredible. That golf course alone, the golf course itself, it's nice, but it's the fact of what you're playing.
The history behind it.
it. So that is, that's probably.
Now, would you, if you went there with your brother again, would you say, brothers don't shake hands, brothers got a hug?
Yes, I think we're past that now. We've had our ups and downs in our lives.
Did you brothers hug where like you just like hug, but then punch and just make it awkward? Time.
No, at one time we were like that. We have come to blows, but we've grown up. 40 years has been a long time, but we've grown up probably closer now than we've been in a long time. It's a big positive.
That's good, because as long as you guys are close, then maybe I'll get some invites out for Member Appreciation Day.
There we go. All right. So Greg is our fitness kind of guru on this podcast. I would think I'm a little bit more of the swing golf guru. I love to throw golf stats out there.
You think, because you're up 5-0?
Let's not talk about play. I'm not talking about play. I think I would rather sit and watch Instagram reels about how to get better at golf.
I look good. I feel good. I play decent.
I want to look like I'm good, but still accept the cookie. I want to play good at the end. So what are your top two, not just one, top two golf exercises for our fans that like to listen and like to get trained for golf? Remember, we're not training just to get in shape. We're training for golf. What are your top two golf exercises?
Top two golf-related exercises. I would say number one is just a pal-off rotation with a cable or a band, or even like you could probably do it with a med ball as well. But
you throw out the word pal-off. I know what you're talking about, but explain to our listeners what you're talking about.
So basically, if I was on a cable pulley machine, or if I had an exercise band attached to a point, I would basically straight-armed, push my arms straight out across my chest. I would basically walk out until that band was under a lot of tension, and I would rotate backwards, mimicking a backward, like our backswing, and then using just the core, no hips or anything like that, basically rotate that core forward towards the foreswing, and basically just use that core to rotate, because a lot of people struggle with using arms, like turning their shoulders. And really it's more so of engaging that core, those small little muscles in your obliques and your rectus abdominis, in order to rotate the core and the trunk around that spine.
Pal-off rotations. I got you.
Pal-off rotation, number one. Number two, trap bar deadlift, hex bar deadlift, whatever you want to call it, rogue bar deadlift. There's 90 million different names for it, but basically when you're standing inside of the bar and your grip is now neutral rather than in front of your body, the lower impact exercise for your lower body, as far as you're not putting the weight in front of your body. The weight is basically on the sides of you. Therefore, you are training that lower body for explosion through that posterior chain, which is so important. People neglect it all the time. Everybody wants big quads, big chest, big biceps. They don't really work on the hamstrings, glutes, and lower back muscles. That it basically puts you in a golf posture in order to fire that lower body. So trap bar deadlift is definitely one of my number one go-tos when you're trying to build muscle for golf.
Yeah, I would say I'm a more of an RDL guy, but I've had this hip, nagging little hip that's been bothering me.
You can do trap bar RDLs as well.
I actually like those. That I feel like I'm strengthening that area, or at least around that area. Like I said, I may not be, but at least it makes me feel good. And I always can get a lot of weight on there. So again, I wish my kids could see how strong I am, but I just usually have to tell them later on.
A lot of people do lift more on trap bar than they do on.
But yeah, so all right, those are two good ones. If I had to throw my top one in there, I love throwing the medicine ball. Just at all different slams.
Now you can do like a med ball rotational wall ball, which would be very similar to a pal-off press or a pal-off rotation. But
I just don't know. I don't know what the kick out of just throwing it, like literally throwing it.
Well, because
it seems cool.
You get to throw inanimate objects and it makes you feel good. Because let's face it, like in every single person's job,
So there's they my want to just there's my feel good part. There's my feel good part. Look they good, feel good by throwing equipment stuff around. So all right. I think we're on number about 8, right? Not quite halfway.
I don't know. Something like that. I have six left.
Okay, I like that.
This one's a little off the wall.
Oh boy.
Most drinks consumed in a round, and how'd you play?
Most drinks consumed in a round. It's been a long time since I've been so intoxicated and I couldn't go home or drive home. As I am predominantly the driver in our relationship.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
You're a toddler. And
a little bit. I do. Yeah. I liked it. Call it motion-enhanced vertigo, but that's just the intelligent-sounding part of motion sickness. Man, that's been a long... I will say, was it this year, this past year, or was it 2 years ago? Yeah, I don't think Anthony was with us. So when I finished off that fifth of Fireball...
I
think that was like the fourth hole.
That was at Myrtle. Yeah.
And you said, where'd it go? And I was like, I think you need to be faster.
Yes. Thing. You got to be quicker than that.
It had to be quicker than that. And I actually think I played okay. And if I didn't play okay, I at least talked enough crap that I kept myself in the game.
Yes, you did. I crumbled towards the end.
I even remember yelling about one shot, but I don't quite remember too much about the shot. But the Fireball will do it.
It was probably one of the most top five impressive things I've seen where we cracked it open and then holes later I went to take a pull and it was gone and your S eaten grin just said, you gotta be quicker than that.
Yeah. I do try to control myself a little bit. I'm getting old. I am the elder in the group.
That is true.
I think like a month, maybe.
A year and like 13 days, 15 okay. days.
Let's just say a year. So I have to show you the right way of passage on a lot of things.
Right. You got
to
guide
me. Myself.
You're my
control.
Guide.
I try to keep myself better. But yeah, so yeah, that would be probably... Before that, I've had some bad ones on the golf course, but I think more of mine are later on after the golf. I don't let my get myself to that.
Yeah, parking lot beers will get you.
They will. All right, I think I'm at number 9. If you can be someone else for one day, who would you be?
For one day. Now I'm just trying to think about who makes the most money in one day.
I could throw mine out there.
There's so many ways you can go with this one, but for one day, I think I'd love.
I could throw mine out there to you and then
to be like basically. This is gonna sound cliche, but like Tiger Sunday. Augusta, big comeback, win the Masters.
Like 2019?
Not even 2019. Like I'm talking like back when he was
in the prime.
In his prime, like early 2000s, where basically I could just like, all right, the typical, he's six back, but he's gonna run down the leader type thing. Just to feel how feel like what was going through his head. Was he just zoned in and heard nothing but silence? Did he freaking hear the crowds and feed off of it? Did he say, I need to press here and actually go for this pin?
He's probably thinking about all his side girls, like all his side pieces that he had. Like,
is this thing itching my knee too much? Just crazy things. Like I would say Tiger, or I would say just basically, I don't know, like... I would want to be Brody for a day just so I can understand what the heck is going on in his mind.
Just for those that don't know, Brody is your 2.5-year-old. Not even.
He's like 2 and 1 month now.
2 and 1 month. So
that kid baffles me day in and day out.
That's an interesting answer. The Tiger one I get. The the Brody one would be interesting. I hope he listens to this in about 20 years.
Yeah,
and
he just baffles me. I'm just like, what do you, I feel like the guy from The Notebook. What do you want? What do you want?
Yeah, I thought long and hard about this one. Wanted to make it some sort of baseball relevance. Barry Bonds when he's chasing 70, Mark McGwire at 99.
Ooh, that's good.
Then I was like, all right, Tiger's an easy one since golf is our focus, but kept falling back on Jordan and just being in a game, knowing that it was basically on you and understanding how he felt. And then I tried to make it golf relevant with it. The times when you hear about these stories where he drank beers all day playing 36 holes and then went out and scored 40 points that night as well too. But just being in Jordan's shoes to know that you were that good. Don't get me wrong, Tiger. I would put Tiger right up there with him, but I don't know, something about being that team sport guy growing up my whole life, transitioning to golf later on.
You think Tiger drinks beers like casually golfing?
No, I meant Tiger being that dominant.
I'm just saying, do you think Tiger like pulls up into your group and he's like, hey, you mind if I join in? And like, you got a threesome, right? It's like me, you, and Anthony. And then Tiger pulls up. You think he's going to be like, oh, yeah, let me get one of those beers. Let me get let me have a shot of Fireball. Do you think he'd be down with that? Or do you think he's serious all the time?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Tiger, if you happen to listen to this,
If somebody has a comment about that question, that might be one of the best questions I've ever heard. I honestly am clueless on that one. I like to think that he's human, just hearing stories.
He's got to be. I bet he will crush a transfusion.
What is his birdie juice? What is his choice of birdie juice?
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Peanut butter and banana sandwich. As we are making the turn and we are back at the clubhouse, let's take a pause. If you want to hear the back nine, the last of our questions, check out the next episode on Fairway Fit.